And when we are going to read these words, we're going to read about fear. And we're going to read about rest. Now, of course, it was very appropriate in the time that the author wrote this letter to the Hebrews. But it also seemed to be very appropriate today. When we think about fear, what is happening to us. But also the rest that we are longing for. When we're tired and weary, and Jesus invites us. All those who weary and are tired and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. And maybe this morning you might be thinking, when you hear these words from Hebrews 4, you might be thinking, wow, I wish so-and-so was here this morning, because that would be very good for them to hear this. Do you ever think that when you hear a sermon? Wow, that would be really good for so-and-so. Well, trust me. This morning, the message of God comes to us, all of us here present. And it comes to you when you're watching this through YouTube. Or when you're listening to this sermon later on via the website, God is speaking to us. It's not just me, as I'm only reading the words from Scripture. We have to realize that God is speaking to us this morning. So Hebrews chapter 4, and we will read verse 1 to 11, and maybe these are some of the most challenging and complicated verses in the Bible. And I say that because as we are reading this, you might be just scratching your head. How in the world am I to understand this? How am I going to put this together? Well, I definitely had that when I was preparing this morning. But Hebrews is a tough book. And Darren has preached a number of sermons on it. And you might also remember that Stefan preached a number of sermons on it. But it was written to those Christians that were drifting away. Drifting away from the faith. And therefore we constantly need to read God's word and study it. And that we're not just dependent on the sermon on Sunday. Or maybe Sunday school teachers. But we all need to become better at understanding God's word. So today we have a tough passage, but we will get through this together and we will tackle it bit by bit and see how far we come in the time that we have with each other this morning. So, chapter 4 of Hebrews. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed entered at rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, and the passage he is referring to is Psalm 95, which he started with in chapter 3, and again in this passage from Psalm 95 he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterwards, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Now, before we look at these words, let's pray. Father, I ask you to take this passage of Scripture, which has some mighty rich hope in it, and open it to us. You be the teacher this morning. You shed light on this passage that you inspired in the beginning for our great faith's sake and for the salvation of the lost. Again, Lord, we pray to open our ears, to open our eyes, and in particular, soften our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, before we look at chapter 4, we need to have a quick look at chapter 3. Because if there's one thing that I've learned from Darren, and I've learned a lot of things from Darren over the years, but if it's one thing that I've learned, is that chapter 4 comes after chapter 3. And there is a reason for that. Because chapter 3 ended with a warning. And we can see that if you just look back in the verse before, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. So the warning is that it was through unbelief that the Israelites did not enter the promised land of God's rest. So we see that they were unable to enter the promised land, the rest, because of unbelief. And the point that we need to take from that is that we, believers, need to be concerned that that does not happen to us. And we need to help each other very closely to prevent that happening, to prevent us from unbelieving so we will not enter his rest. And that is not something I just strongly recommend, but we can read that in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 3. It says, "Take care, brothers and sisters, let there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." That is a command to us all. So it's not just about coming here on a Sunday, be together as believers, and then go throughout the rest of the week without. Because when your alarm goes tomorrow morning, and you think about those unfriendly colleagues, or maybe that terrible manager, or those unfriendly students at school, we are still believers. And we need that encouragement during the whole week. And that's why we need to read the Bible every day of the week. We need to pray every day of the week. And I know that some of you are doing that together with others, which is a massive help to fight that unbelief and just following those words, that command from verse 12 and 13. So now we come to verse 1 of chapter 4. Because we come to a new conclusion. And it's not completely different from verse 19, but it's slightly altered. So let's read verse 1. "Therefore," now whenever there is the word "therefore," that tips you off, that there is some sort of a conclusion being drawn. "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands." Now let's pause there. Because that means that that promise of rest has not gone away. That is not something that is past. That promise of entering God's rest still stands. And that rest is yet to come. A heavenly rest in the future, which is still promised. And that's what we're thinking about with Advent. We're looking forward to the coming of Christ. We're looking forward to that eternal rest with him. And again, remember the words that Jesus said himself. "Come to me, who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you" what? "Rest." It's still there. Jesus is holding out his hand to you. And then the writer continues, "Let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it." So the conclusion that the writer here draws from verse 19 is fear. Therefore, let us fear. And the question that might pop into your head, it definitely popped into my head, was fear what? Well, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to way to reach it. It? Yes. Fail to reach the rest. We should fear that we fail to reach that rest. So we have to fear that we're missing out on heaven because of our unbelief. Because if you're not trusting the promises of God, you will miss heaven. Now let's confirm that by reading verse 2, which starts with the word "for." And that is the opposite of the word "therefore." "Therefore" draws a conclusion, and the word "for" means "because," and it gives an explanation. So here in verse 2, it starts with "for" or "because." So verse 1 says, "fear." And verse 2 says, "because good news came to us, just as to them. But the message did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened." So this goes back to verse 19 of chapter 3. Do you see that? They were unable to enter because of unbelief. And therefore, you should fear. And fear because the good news came, but they did not benefit from it. And why? Because they didn't believe. They had no faith. So that is what we have to fear ourselves. A lack of faith. And when I studied these verses, I was thinking about these words, "good news came to us, just to them." Which means that they also got good news in the Old Testament. Do you ever think about that? Because good news means the gospel. And so often we think about the gospel in the Old Testament. I had a friend in Holland who never read the Old Testament. Because he said it was too cruel, too violent. It was all about the law. He preferred to read the New Testament because that was about the gospel. Well, it's interesting when we look here that the author is talking about they have received the good news, the gospel. And it did not benefit them. And there is many examples. Obviously, we've just had the series from Darren, from 1 Kings, but also Isaiah, where constantly we were reminded of that good news of the gospel in the Old Testament. But also, let's look at a particular verse in Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7. If you want to turn in your Bibles, it's on page 74. And that is in the middle of the presentation of the law at Mount Sinai, and God speaks there. And he says, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.'" Well, if that isn't gospel, then what is? A God slow to anger, a God overflowing of love and faithfulness, a God that doesn't just forgive sin, but also iniquity and transgression. The three biggest words that are being used in Scripture for sin. And here we know and we get the promise that God forgives. And that's even at the center of the giving of the law. The gospel at the center of the law. So these people had heard the good news. And not just about a God that forgives sins, but also the promise of God's rest. And we can also see that in Numbers. Numbers chapter 14, which you can find on page 122. And that is the story about the spies that went into Canaan. The promised land that God had given. And those spies, those 10 unbelieving spies, came back and they said, the land looks good, but the people are huge. They are much stronger than us. We can't beat them. It's a great promise, but we don't believe it, that we can fight them. But then Joshua and Caleb, a beautiful name to have. Joshua and Caleb said, but God has promised. It is our land. There is rest. There is milk. There is honey. And it is ours if we believe God. But the majority, and we see that in verse 2 of our own text in Hebrews, the majority did not believe. And what was the result? They had to return into the wilderness, which is quite symbolic for us. If we do not believe, we are lost in the wilderness that is seen around us. Does your life sometimes feel like being lost in the wilderness? When you look at the news, when you hear about the new virus, a new variant, when you hear about job loss, the turn of the economy, does it ever feel like being in a wilderness? Well, that is what we need to fear. That we're ending up in the wilderness surrounded by desolation and pain because of our unbelief in the promises of God. Now, what about that word fear? What do we make of that? Because it's more or less said in verse 11 as well. And that serves as a sandwich, verse 1 and verse 11. If we look at verse 11, it says, let us therefore, he draws a big conclusion again, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience like the disobedience of the Israelites. And in the verses in between, he unfolds the Israelite experience of failure and all the different ways that rest was being developed. So here in verse 11, he says, strive to enter that rest. Striving. That calls for continuous, diligent action to fight against that unbelief and to make sure that we stand strong in the faith in order to enter that rest. And again, that was what this book is about. Because time and time again, the Hebrews were reminded in this letter to hold on to the faith, to listen, not to harden their hearts, to exhort one another day by day, and here to fear unbelief and to trust in the promises of God. So you might want to ask me a question and say, given the text here, and you might ask me, so the Christian life is about fearing unbelief. As a Christian, I have to fear all day that I might be lost. Is that what you're saying? That we should be fearing about not being able to enter God's rest? Well, it's a good question, but let's look at what the text says here. Because I'm just reading the words written here in Hebrews. And sometimes we read things in the Bible that are tough. And we need to ask God to help us to get clarity around some of the difficult passages. Now, the first thing we need to look at answering this question about whether we should be living in fear all day is to go back to verse 15 of chapter 2. So Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. And I start reading in verse 14, and it says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." And that reminds us of something glorious. Christ came and died. Why? To deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So let us be loud and clear. What this means is that Jesus Christ died to make you fearless. Fearless before death. Fearless before the devil, the world, illness. He died to make you fearless. And how? Through his promises. Because we prayed for Said, for Marina. We think about Living Waters, building a Christian children's center in the middle of a Muslim country. Through God's promises, we can go about these things in the mission field. Through God's promises, we can do outreach events. We can face colleagues when we speak to them about Christ. Because Christ says, "Fear not. I am with you." And when we're worried about our health, our income, our family, Christ says, "Fear not, because I am with you." If you believe that promise, fear goes. And the one thing that remains to fear is not believing that promise. So the one thing to fear is not believing the promise that make you fearless. Let me say that again. The one thing to fear is not believing the promises that make you fearless. Now the question was, does that mean I need to live in constant fear about that unbelief? Well, let me give you another example. And the kids will understand this, I think. Because I'm sure that all of you, well, actually all of you here have been children at one stage. But you, at one stage of your life, you walked with mom and dad alongside a busy road. And what did they say? Don't run into the road. When you cross the street, hold my hand. You need to fear the street because there is cars. They drive 20, 30, 40 miles an hour. So when you cross the street, it's dangerous. You need to fear the road. And I realize that when some of you grew up, it might not have been that busy on the road. But we say to our children, hold my hand. Fear the street because I love you. And I don't want to lose you. And that's why I teach you to fear the road. Now I can ask the kids, does that ruin your day, all day? Oh no, I need to fear the road. When you're in the park or when you're in the garden, are you constantly thinking, oh no, I need to fear the road? Not really, right? It doesn't affect you when you're playing in the garden. It doesn't affect you when you're playing in the park or when you're sleeping in bed. But maybe sometimes, when that ball rolls into the road, you might think, oh, the road. I need to fear that. I need to be afraid. I need to be careful. So you see, it doesn't ruin your whole day when you're told to fear unbelief. And that's why when you wake up tomorrow morning, you need to remind yourself of God's promises. Pray that he will fill you with his Holy Spirit. Read the Bible and remind yourself that Christ died to make us fearless. He keeps reminding us in Scripture not to be afraid. You can even read books. I read a book a couple of years ago called Fearless from Max Lucado. And again, it's a reminder from Scripture that we can live without fear if we trust in the promises of God. So what about verses 3 to 10? Very quickly about these verses. Because the author of this letter is talking about the fact that this rest that is to come was revealed in the Old Testament. And here in these verses he gives 5 examples from history in which that rest for the people of God is foretold. And the first one is in verse 4. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And it says that it was spoken somewhere. Obviously, they couldn't refer to Genesis 2. We know that because we have the books and the chapters now. But again, it goes back to creation. That God rested on the seventh day. So we even have a God that is restful. Because he rested himself. And that's why he knows it's so important for us to have that rest. And then in verse 5, again, the passage from Psalm 95, God had promised the promised land, and they could not enter because of their unbelief. And then in verse 8, through Joshua, God let them enter the promised land. But that wasn't the final rest. Because otherwise God would not have spoken about another day later on. So after Canaan, there was another rest to come. A future rest. And then later, in time, David refers again to a rest when he says in verse 7, today, saying through David, so long afterwards, after they entered Canaan, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, but rather listen and enter God's rest. And then finally, the time of the writer. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And that is what we read today. There remains a rest. It's a promise. A rest for today, because through Christ's death, we can be fearless. Do you believe that? So again, waking up tomorrow morning, facing work, facing illness, facing challenges, facing the news, or facing whatever, we are reminded here to trust in the promises of God and be fearless, entering his rest now and ultimately entering his eternal rest. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this timely reminder that we need to trust in your promises. Time and time again in Scripture, Jesus is reminding us not to be afraid, not to worry, to believe in the promises. And therefore, Lord, as we go from here back into the world, we ask you for your help, that we remain faithful, that we remain to believe and to trust in your promises. And, O Lord, we ask you for that rest here on earth. But ultimately, Lord, we are asking to look forward to that eternal rest when we can be with you in heaven. And Lord, we pray for those that might be listening to this among us here or watching via YouTube or listening via the website later on that are doubting and are fearing that unbelief. Lord, we pray for them that you work with your Spirit in their hearts that they are not hardening their hearts like the Israelites before they entered the land Canaan, but that they welcome you into their hearts. Lord, we pray for them. And Lord, we pray for ourselves that we hold firmly to the faith that we profess. And therefore, Lord, we come before you humbly and with empty hands, and we ask you to fill us with your Spirit, to fill us with your rest, and to help us to put our faith and to believe in your promises that you have given so long ago. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.